gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
USA Today is reporting a group of Christians is up in arms about the opening of Indiana's first regional Mormon temple in Carmel. Christy, I don't know if it's pronounced Carmel or Carmel, but either way, I mean, geographically, it's the same. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. And some folk are up, you know, up in arms. That's what the article says. The, you know, the new temple, they're protesting it. Here's what the group says they're going to do. They're going to put up a tent across the street to state the truth about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormon Church.
Okay.
All right. Now, look, this is Christians taking, you know, a stand, taking their responsibility seriously to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to talk about whether or not, you know, that's the wisest thing to do. But, hey, at least they're doing something.
I guess you could put it that way. Yeah. I might be inclined to think maybe they should just not do anything.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about it a little bit on today's edition of The Dean's List. Christy Dean is with me, and we don't always see eye to eye. Most of the time we do. It's okay. I'm not saying we disagree here. We'll see what happens. Listen, folks who have listened to us long enough probably think now we're going to go down, you know, the whole civil society road. I'm not going down that road today.
Oh, wow.
See, even you.
Curveball.
You were surprised. Curveball. That's right. Obviously, I wouldn't, you know, protest, you know, whether or not a Mormon church could buy property and put up a Mormon temple in this culture. I mean, just like that whole, you know, statue, you know, of Satan thing, I don't think a Mormon church in the area is a good thing.
Right.
But I'm not going to protest. But that's not where I'm going.
Okay.
And as soon as I said it, I start going down that road. You know, part of that is years and years ago, I'll just be honest with you. You know, I was talking to some folk, and, you know, it was a piece of property in a rural community we lived in, and, you know, the grocery store was going to buy it, and there's going to be a lot of traffic, and some people came to me and said, hey, you know, we don't want these folk in here. Can you, you know, help us? And I was thinking, okay, well, yeah, that might not be a good thing. I could see reasons why it might be a good thing. I mean, I thought we needed a new grocery store. But anyway, we were driving, I don't know, a long, long way. And I like my food close by. Anyway, I'm not a hunter and a gatherer, you know. I'm sort of open the fridge. What's in here? But anyway, got talking about, you know, Roman Catholic Church maybe being interested in the property.
Mm.
And I just quickly said, oh, well, yeah, I'll help you put a stop to that. We don't want them in here.
Mm.
And they looked at me like I was, you know, strange. And I couldn't understand that. You know, these are Christians. But I figured out a little bit later, just because, you know, I'm looking at my Bible. Obviously, we're not Roman Catholic. And I don't believe the Roman Catholic Church is the true church. You know, obviously I believe the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church with reference to salvation, the gospel, and everything else, it's a false gospel. It's a system of human merit. It's a religious system, right?
Right.
You with me so far? And so, yeah, I'm not in favor of, you know, false religions coming into communities because they do deceive people. They lead people astray. But neither do, you know, I think we should ban them from coming in, you know, through the law.
Right.
Anyway, so I've changed my position on that. We grow, we learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? How do I help people in my community? Well, I preach the gospel, right?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Speak the truth in love. Now, that's what I want to talk about with reference to this Mormon church, you know, that's going to be put up here in Carmel. I guess it's in Carmel, Indiana. One of the group that's protesting, Tri-Grace Ministries, the founder, Chip Thompson said this. He said, in a sense, we believe that they are not telling people the truth.
Agree.
They're not following what Jesus taught. It concerns us that Christians are being deceived by their message.
That's valid.
Now, in this particular article in USA Today, listen to the next line, because I'm going to use it to talk about a few things here, but then we're going to pivot.
Okay.
We're going to talk about two major issues on the broadcast today, if we ever get to it.
Okay.
So, quit delaying me. We're going right now. Some Christians, I know it's not you, I'm just kidding, Some Christians reject the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as non-Christian. But others believe the protesting of tri-grace is out of line. Well, now wait a minute. Christians do reject the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as non-Christian, but even some of those Christians wouldn't, you know, protest the church, as you yourself indicated a few moments ago. But the implication here, and if you read what one pastor says a little bit later in the article, is that, well, you know, if they say they're Christians, well, you know, who am I to say they're not? Now, don't address that just yet.
Okay.
That's the second issue. Okay? But let's look at this first issue. Let's talk about Christians who object, and I would object, again, to, you know, Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about the civil society issue, just Mormonism. So here's this group of people. They're going to put up a tent across the street. Going to talk about, you know, the error of the Mormon church. So in a sense, they're protesting the Mormon church. They're not necessarily, I mean, at least the article that I read, they're not necessarily trying to keep them out. They're just going to put up a tent across the street, and they're going to say, here's where they're wrong. And presumably, they're going to try to point people to the truth. So here's the question. Is this the best way? Let me put it that way. Is this the best way to do evangelism?
I don't know if I would say that it's the best way.
Okay.
I guess it depends on their attitude.
Yeah.
If they're across the street over there holding up picket signs and saying, we hate Mormons, then that is not painting a good picture.
Yeah.
And actually, I would say that's bringing reproach on the name of Christ.
Yeah.
To do it that way.
Yeah.
But if
they're not doing that.
Right. But
yeah, that's not Christian at all.
If they're over there with a tent just saying, here's what Christianity is, and here's where we disagree with the Mormons, and here's what the Bible actually says.
Yeah.
Then perhaps that's not such a bad thing. But is it the best way?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure.
You're not sure. So it's legitimate. But you're not sure it's the best way.
Right.
Now, what if they were serving barbecue?
Oh, that makes it all right, man.
Exactly.
I'd barbecue to anything I'm there.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
That's where I'm going. No, I think you've hit part of the nail on the head. Which, by the way, if you do that, you're going to bend your nail.
Part of the nail.
Yeah, you're going to bend your nail, but that's okay. Some illustrations don't work, but all I'm trying to say is, yeah, it does depend on what they're doing and how they're doing it. And so I do think that that's a legitimate means. I don't know if it's the best means. I'm with you. But it's certainly legitimate unless they're, you know, doing the God hates Mormons thing. That's not even Christian, you know, to say stuff like that.
Right.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons I want to bring this up is because when you look at the New Testament, when you look at the early church, on the one hand, now when you say on the one hand, there's always on the other hand.
Right.
We're going to get to that, okay? So I'm just alerting the folk to that fact. But on the one hand, it seems to me that the apostles and the people in the early church, they weren't as worried about,
hurting people's feelings,
stirring up trouble. Now, they didn't, again, we don't want to mischaracterize. They didn't go out of their way to look for trouble.
Right.
They weren't ugly.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hold up signs that said God hates, you know, this group or that group. They didn't do anything like that. But there certainly were a number of riots when the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, for example.
They didn't go out looking for trouble like that. They just preached their message and let the gospel do the work.
That's right. So they didn't shy away from anything. See, a lot of times Christians today, I think, we're so fearful of whether it's personal, you know, marginalization, you know, somebody's going to say something ugly to us. Or whether we think, oh, wow, we can't do anything that people might not like.
Mm.
And we don't want to offend anybody.
Well, the gospel in and of itself is offensive.
Right. And again, I don't want to be personally offensive, right? And I don't want to just do stupid stuff that offends people. But I do think that a lot of times Christians just won't say anything or even do evangelism at all because of all these fears and because of all the different, you know, positions in our culture where, you know, you can hardly say anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And you got to say, wait a minute. You know, we're going to speak the truth, and we're going to speak it in love. So that's part of where I'm coming from. Do you realize, let's just talk about this for just a moment. One of the means of evangelism that the early church engaged in, at least the apostles, Apostle Paul specifically, he went into synagogues. Mm-hmm. All right, now synagogues, this is where the Jews were, and they had not come to Christ, so they're not Christians. You know, they're out of covenant relationship with God. They crucified Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, there was Gentiles that did that too. We're not anti-Semitic here. We're just talking about historical fact, context of the book of Acts, for example. So Paul goes into the synagogues, wherever he goes into the city, and he sits there, he participates, he listens. Then he gets an opportunity to speak, and guess what? He opens the scriptures, and he begins to proclaim Jesus.
And tell them where they're wrong.
Yes. He says, you're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when he does that? You tell me.
I mean, if you take Peter as an example, remember he went in and was talking, I guess, at Pentecost, and he was talking to everyone and said, this Jesus whom you crucified, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And what happened was they were cut to the heart, and 3,000 were saved in one day.
That's right. So you have a mighty movement of God there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Pentecost is a unique event, and, you know, we could say it's, there were, well, I've forgotten my word. Anyway, the Holy Spirit was...
But when Paul was speaking, some people believed, some people didn't. Some people got mad.
Yeah. Well, that's where I wanted to go, but I just want to clarify what I was trying to say about the whole Pentecost thing. You know, you had the initial 3,000 souls saved, and then, you know, a little bit later, the Samaritans, you know, a large group of Samaritans come to Christ, that Cornelius' household comes to Christ, the disciples of John come to Christ. So, you know, Pentecost is unique historically, but it seems to me that there were different phases in terms of that one event. I've lost my word. It'll come to me during the break. But yes, you make the point, and this is the point I want to make going into the break, that when Paul preached, there were three reactions, and you just said them. Say them again.
Some people believed. Some people said, oh, we'll hear you again, and some people rejected it.
And some of those people who rejected it
got mad.
They got mad, and a lot of them got pretty violent. And that's just part of being a Christian, people acting violent towards you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't rabble-rousing on purpose, weren't trying to stir it up. But sometimes it was stirred up. We'll talk about it more after the break. Stay tuned.
Romans 1:20 tells us that God's power and divinity are obvious through what has been made, and skeptics are without excuse for their unbelief. Yet secular philosophies like evolution persist all over the culture. So next time on Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street addresses the wonder and truth of God's creation with filmmaker Steve Grison and theologian T.M. Moore. Don't miss a moment right here on Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hi, Alex McFarland here for Truth for a New Generation, the conference on apologetics and evangelism that will change your life. Hey, your teenagers need to hear Stephen Meyer, who wrote the landmark book, Signature in the Cell. It will equip them to stand against evolution and Darwinism. There's going to be a debate about America's future, better with or without God, a debate with David Silverman of American Atheist. You'll also hear Eric Stackelbeck, one of the nation's experts on Islam, how to reach Muslims for Christ, how to reach children for Christ, how your church can start an English as a second language program that will help you reach immigrants for Jesus Christ. It's truthforanewgeneration.com, September 18, 19, First Baptist Church, Spartanburg. You don't want to miss it. People are coming from across America. So upstate, we hope to see you at Truth for a New Generation, September 18, 19. Go to the website, register today.
In the Upstate Bible Quiz League, children grades 3 to 12 memorize God's Word in a fun and competitive environment. The cost is only $2 per quizzer. So sign up your child today at upstatebiblequiz.com.
Hi, I'm one of the coaches for Bible Quiz. It's exciting for me to see how much fun the youth are having memorizing God's Word. One of the most fun parts about Bible Quiz is the sweet fellowship we share with each other.
Sign up today at UpstateBibleQuiz.com.
Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archived broadcasts, simply log on to TrueWorldView.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
Hey, so Christy, here's a question. Could I go into that Mormon church on Sunday morning, sit in on Sunday school class, and when it's my turn to answer a question, start saying, well, you guys worship the wrong Jesus?
Why not?
Why not? See, I'm bold enough to do that.
Most people wouldn't.
A lot of people say, that's bad form. Now, see, I'm one of those guys that says, well, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm like you. I'm not sure that I'd go to downtown Greenville. We live here in upstate South Carolina. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know I'm sure. I wouldn't go to downtown Greenville, stand up on a wooden box, and start preaching out in the, mm-hmm. out on the, I just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, why not? Or do you say why not? Or do you know why
not?
Well,
it's not. Most of the time when you hear a guy street preaching, most people are not going to be responsive. They're just going to think, oh, that's dumb, or that guy's weird, or that's strange. Christians are strange. People are going to think Christians are strange anyways, but people are not already open to listening to things about the gospel when you're just out there street preaching.
Okay.
I mean, at least in our culture, in present day, you know, Greenville.
Okay.
So I think it would be more beneficial to go somewhere where people are already willing to talk about the things of the gospel.
Okay. Now you have hit the nail squarely on the head.
Right on the head.
Yes.
Awesome.
And the reason, because I was going to ask you a couple of questions, but in your answer you kind of clarified, which is good. And one of those key phrases is where people are open. And again, it's not that human beings can be open and of themselves, but it's the work of the Spirit.
Right.
Okay?
Well, think about Paul. He went to the Areopagus to share the gospel, which is where people were already pontificating and philosophizing and talking about these things.
He didn't
just necessarily go on the side of the road and start shouting. He went to where people were already discussing these things.
Already discussing philosophical or religious things. That's correct.
And
you're
said,
absolutely
hey,
right.
Why don't you think about this?
Yes.
And started
preaching Jesus, regardless of the consequences. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what he did. The same thing with the synagogue, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're already talking about religious things.
Right.
So I could go to the Mormon church. They're already talking about religious things.
He didn't go down to the local bar and just get up there and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus.
Yeah. Now, what about those people who would say, now, whoa, hold on a minute. Because there were times when Paul's in the marketplace.
Okay.
And he's preaching Jesus. And the same thing occurs. There's a big riot. Even the Roman guard has to rescue him on one occasion. What about that?
I don't know.
Well, that's a great answer. You know why? Because it's honest. It's always better to say, I don't know if you don't know, rather than try to make up something. Here's the answer, though. The answer is, in that culture, religious things were discussed in the market. That's where these things were talked about. So, in our culture, the question is, well, where are religious things talked about? Well, you know.
Coffee shops.
Talk radio, Sunday school classes, a number of places we could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I do think it's a wise thing to think about, okay, what's the context? Now, you go to some foreign country and street preaching is seen as something that's not odd and people will gather around and listen, I'm good with that. In fact, I've done street preaching in other countries and it wasn't an odd thing at all. So it's not that I'm opposed to street preaching.
Mm-hmm, right.
Context is the key. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the First Great Awakening, George Whitefield, he's in open-air preaching. John Wesley, this is a new thing. But there again, when George Whitefield was out in that field and he pitched his voice about 100 yards, he had a magnificent voice by all historical accounts. And the coal miners were coming up out of the mines at the end of the day, just down and out and, you know, discouraged and depressed at life in general. Mm. And they stood there by the thousands and listened. That's a different deal than shouting at somebody on his way to Macy's or something.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And people would listen and people would come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just think a little wisdom is in order here. And so that's what we're saying. The truth of the matter is, I'm not out there in Carmel, Indiana. I don't know the context. I don't know exactly what these brothers and sisters are doing. Maybe they're doing it the right way. Maybe they're doing the right thing. I don't know. We're just using this to launch into this discussion.
Well, I think the cultural climate has changed, and it's always changing. Not that we don't change our message based on what the culture is doing, but we can change our approach based on where the culture is at that point in time.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, but there's some things you can't do. And again, I was, believe it or not, I'm reading my notes and listening, so I'm not sure what you said. Just want to make sure you said the message doesn't change, but we can change our approach.
Right, like we're
well,
not.
Well, I think within biblical bounds, I'll say that very quickly.
We don't want to be pragmatic.
Exactly. Yeah, because saying okay, street preaching, you know, the coal miners in the 1700s who are going to stand there by the thousands and listen. Versus, okay, well, probably not going to street preach in Greenville, South Carolina today. Well, you're not saying any, you know, the method is still preaching or not preaching.
Right.
But pragmatism says, well, we're willing to do whatever works. Let's have a mud wrestling contest to get people in the church and then preach the gospel. We're not going to do that just because people might show up.
Right.
And you might disagree. It's fine.
No, I don't disagree.
Oh, well, good. Anyway. A lot of people would pay good money to see me mud wrestle, though.
Are you sure about that?
Actually, I'm not. They pay money not to have to watch that. But anyway, so I'm wondering let me just shift gears because we got to move quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if there's something missing in contemporary church life in America, at least today. We've got a lot of pragmatism. You mentioned it. You put it on the table. So I'm going to throw it out there. So a lot of people are trying to reach people, but I'm thinking that in a lot of cases, I'm not going to chronicle any today, but in a lot of cases, it's just totally unbiblical.
Mm-hmm.
And so my point there would be, well, their heart is right. They want to see people saved, but they're dishonoring God.
It does more harm than good.
Yes, they're hindering the gospel and harming people, not helping people. But the heart's right.
Okay.
All right, so that's one.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe, and maybe some, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I'm not going to, yeah. But there are others who might be doing things that are legit, but they're, again, wrong context. And then there might be people who are, this is your street preaching. It's one thing to be kind. As you said, maybe the people across the street from the Mormon church, you know, you're being kind. Here's the difference versus, you know, holding up these signs. You know, or the guy on the box on the corner, he's pleading with people to come to Christ versus the one shouting to everybody, you're going to hell.
Right.
That's really not biblical preaching, just to shout at people, you're going to hell. Not that Jesus and the apostles never talked about hell, but they just didn't do it that way.
Right.
Okay, so we got all that. And then we got entertainment and pragmatism and gifts, and we got people doing all this stuff. Do you think that part of the problem might be that it's, you know, a lot of Christians just really aren't being Christian every day and just sharing in the everyday. And so a lot of people are so frustrated with that, but they see the need, the dying world out there. And because they're not necessarily that theologically informed, they're resorting to all this other stuff. But the reality is all of us need to be out there as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we all have to grab people and talk to them, you know, about the four spiritual laws, but we all have to live as witnesses for Jesus Christ, don't we?
We need to be doing that every single day. Everywhere we go, influencing others for Christ.
Yeah.
You might think going to the grocery store and getting your groceries is not something that you can do for Christ, but you can.
It
depends on, you know, show a good attitude while you're out shopping. Don't get frustrated. Don't be flustered with your kids when they're being annoying. Be kind and loving. People around you are always, you're always being a light for Christ.
That's right.
Wherever you go.
And if you're moving in those contexts where you see the same people over and over again, they're going to know you do what you do because you're a Christian, which is going to open up conversations.
Right.
And even in those contexts where you're at a grocery store, for example, you might have an unexpected opportunity to talk to somebody.
Right. And just being a witness is not the only way to do evangelism.
No.
And it's not, maybe not even the best one, because there's a difference between being a witness and actually evangelizing.
That's true.
You still need to give the gospel verbally and show the word to people. You can't just expect, oh, well, I live my life for Christ. I glorify God. That should be enough. You still have to preach the gospel.
That's right. But you just have to be wise about it. You know, say you're talking to a fella and he is literally late for a meeting at work. He's going to get in trouble. You don't stand there.
Right.
You know, and he's all irritated now.
Right.
Say, hey, you know, maybe we'll talk another time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, I think people understand this. Now, we've only got 3 minutes left. We're going to run out of time. Acts 8:4, I wanted to bring that out. Mm-hmm. You know, the persecution in Jerusalem, folk were scattered, and the Bible simply says this. This is the people in the church. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what we need to be doing, going everywhere preaching the gospel. It doesn't mean we stand on the street corner, but everywhere, every day, like you just said.
Right.
But we're running out of time, and here's what I wanted to get to. There was a pastor on this whole Mormon deal in Indiana, and here's what he said, and I wish we had more time for this, my fault, but okay. But he said, if my Mormon brother, see, this is like some people say, no, we shouldn't protest. Why? If my Mormon brother says he's a Christian, I'll accept his word at that.
Since when are Mormon brothers?
Right. And here's what he says. We disagree in theology. We might disagree in theology, have differences of opinion about what core tenets of Christianity are, but I'm not going to deny him the right to call himself what he or she in their faith believe they are.
That's relativism.
It is relativism. And let me put it in the vernacular. It's flat out wrong. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, we could do a whole, actually, we could do a series of shows on what Mormons believe. But they don't believe the same thing the Bible teaches.
Look it up. Google.
Yeah, they don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe salvation is by grace alone. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, if we had time. But it's not the same thing. And Mormons are not Christians. They're not Christian brothers. A lot of them are really good people.
Mm-hmm. And that's confusing sometimes.
Yes. But we have to be honest about that. And not only that, but here's this other notion. Well, part of what he said is he thinks he might be a brother.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of what he says, well, he has the right to call himself what he believes he is. Well, now, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to speak the truth in love? Mm-hmm. See, it's just like the homosexual marriage thing. Again, if marriage were privatized, mm-hmm. government were out of it, you know, if a homosexual couple wanted to call themselves married, they have a civil right to do that, but I'm going to tell them, well, you're not married.
Mm-hmm.
See? Just like I'm going to tell gay people who are married in the eyes of the government right now, well, you're still not married because
mm-hmm.
you don't meet the biblical definition of marriage. Well, I'm going to say to, you know, a Mormon, you believe you're a Christian, but you are not.
Right.
It's not a matter of letting him call himself what he believes he is. It's a matter of speaking the truth. Isn't that part of evangelism and witness and why we're here?
Right.
Pastors. Sometimes they're so confused. Anyway, you've been listening to the Dean's List. Hope you'll join us next time. We'll try to clear up some other issues, and I hope you're doing the same in your context. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.